Breath of God, breath of life, breath of deepest yearning.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Comforter, disturber, interpreter, enthuser.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Heavenly friend, lamplighter, revealer of truth, midwife of change.
Come, Holy Spirit.
As we gather in this house of prayer, we pray.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Please be seated. Friends, good morning.
Good morning.
Bathed in the power of the Spirit, I say this to each and to all of you. Whoever you are and wherever you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. No catches, no fine print, no red tape. You, each of you, and all of you are welcome because you are the beloved child made in God's very own image. A special welcome today as we prepare for our 282nd annual meeting, which will take place immediately following worship in the Jonathan Edwards Room. And know this, as welcome as you are here in this room, you are just as welcome there in that room. I invite you to take a look this morning at the green sheet that we have placed within your bulletin. It is an invitation to a deeper connection to the life of this place. If anyone has a short announcement to make, please come forward to the microphone that you might be ready to make it. First, a couple of things before they do. Yesterday, around midday, we laid to rest our beloved Clyde Wade, who had passed away in February. His family had been up here, and we gathered in the cemetery for a graveside service. It was beautiful. This church was there in presence, and it was a day of beauty. I also want to let you know that our clerk, Ted Randolph, is not here today, in part because his mother, Jane, passed away this past week. He was there in Alabama and remains there with family to be able to be together and spend loving time together.
Hi, I'm Patty Strouch with the Music Committee. I wanted to remind everybody that 1 week from today, Sunday, May 29th at 3 p.m. at Ozawa Hall, is the Berkshire Lyric Concert, the Mozart Requiem. Very involved with this congregation, Jack Brown, the director, as well as two of the soloists from this congregation, Marjorie and John, and many of the chorus members are from this congregation. So please come out and support it. Tickets, if you want them, afterwards, Jack, myself, or Ronnie will have them. Thank you.
Good morning, I'm Madonna Marr from the Mission and Action Committee. On your green sheet on Communion Worship, Sunday, June 5th, you'll notice that we are, the Mission and Action Group, will be in Pittsfield for Cathedral in the Night. And that's a service that feeds the hungry, homeless, veterans, people in wheelchairs, the disabled. And we could use some cookie bakers for, and we plan to feed about 80 meals, 60 to 80 people, and we'll do sandwiches and a dessert, which would be cookies, and we could use some assemblers for our sandwiches, and we could use some cookie bakers. So if you're interested, you can come see me or Hal and Ann Brink or anyone on the Mission Committee, and we can get you organized with that. Thank you so much.
Good morning. I'm John Geldert from the Growth and Fellowship Committee. For those of you who missed the all-church birthday party last weekend, you missed a dramatic tour de force by Steve Hasper and myself as we did a skit to introduce a new Growth and Fellowship program. So if you missed that, I wanted to let you all know. This program is called Come On Over. It's designed to get you all who would like to get to know each other better outside of church together. The idea would be that there's a host, and then the host sets an event. It could be a cocktail hour, it could be a game night, it could be a dinner, it could be a barbecue, whatever you'd like to make it, and then we'll help you coordinate getting people signed up for that. There is not yet a sign-up sheet in the Jonathan Edwards Room. Before we start this program and open the floodgates to attendees, we need hosts. We have a few already. We're looking for a few more. So there is not yet a sign-up sheet for that, but if you are interested, please see me after church or email Steve Hasmer. Thank you.
Morning. Glenn Gilbert, moderator for the church. It is my privilege to read the call to you in a minute for the annual church meeting. For those of you who may be new members to the church in the past year since the last May meeting, this is a meeting that the church does every year. It's within our bylaws. It's to be a meeting in May, and we're there. So there's been a great deal of activity with boards and committees all year long, and this is a time where we move into the new election and to finalize some issues. The First Congregational Church of Stockbridge, Main Street, Massachusetts, all members of the First Congregational Church of this church, in accordance with the bylaws of the church, I hereby call the annual meeting of the church for Sunday, May 22nd, 2016, immediately following worship. The business to be transacted as follows: time of remembrance, to act upon the scheduled business, election of boards and officers of the church, reports and recognitions, memorial garden, and to act upon any other business that may legally have come before this meeting. Thank you.
My name is Don Payne, and I'm the Youth Task Force, and I have a few things I want to say. First one is, how many here like breakfast? How many here like celebrating? How many here remember when you graduated from high school? On June 12th, at 8:30 in the morning, yes, that's a correction, you'll be glad to know you have an extra 15 minutes, we're having a graduation celebration, first time ever, six churches coming together. We have six graduates. We need some people to come and celebrate. So if you haven't seen the sign-up list in the Jonathan Edwards room, take a look at it or tell me that you're thinking about coming or you're definitely coming. And we'll put your name on. June 8th is the final cutoff, and there are limited seats, so let me know that you like to celebrate and you like breakfast, and we'll do it. Thank you.
Friends, there never has been, nor will there ever be another time just like this one. It is a time made for the worship of God. And as we continue, I would invite all the children to come forward and gather around Kathy right there next to the piano. All right, welcome. You came by yourself. You are such a big girl. I am so proud of you.
You didn't even need help. My mom said, do you want to go by yourself or do you want mom to come with
you? And you came by yourself. I love it. So I've got a question for you. How many pianos are in this room?
One, 2.
That's right. Always good to look around before you answer the question, right? We are so blessed as a congregation to have not just one amazing instrument, but to have two. And you know what? This piano here is the younger sibling. It's the new kid on the block. It's a piano that's been given to us by the Dix family, that we might use it here in worship. So I have a couple questions for you. Whenever we accept something new into the life of the church, we do two things to it. We bless it, and then we consecrate it. So let's start with the first word. What does it mean to bless something? Do you have any idea? Yeah. To pray on it. Absolutely. What else does a blessing connote? Any ideas? Here's what we do. A blessing means that we pray to God and ask God to look over this instrument, to care for this instrument, that it might last for a long time. And blessings, you see, are sticky things. When we bless something, they stick with it for a long time. So the first thing we do is we smear this piano with a sticky blessing. It'll still work. Don't worry. The second thing we do, though, is we do this. Does anybody have any idea what the word consecrate means? Does anybody have any idea
what the word consecrate means. Okay, so there's an element of holiness to it. When we consecrate something, we ascribe to it a very particular purpose. We say that this thing is going to be for a very specific purpose, and it's going to be a holy purpose. We consecrate it to the service, not just of this church, but of God. So what are the things this piano is going to do while it's here in the church, do you think? It's going to be played. Right. We're going to be playing songs on it, sometimes with its older brother, sometimes by itself. The choir is going to practice with it. We'll do concerts on it. It is all, though, for the purpose of glorifying God and for helping us to grow closer in faith. So here's the thing. Consecration and blessings are best done when we touch them. And so what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to gather around this piano. Come on around. That's all right. Kathy tells me she has a cleaner that will get all the fingerprints out. Come on around, and I want each and every person to touch this piano. And I'm going to put in front of you some sheets that you can help us do this blessing. Kathy is going to go to the microphone that she can lead the entire congregation in this first part of the dedication of the piano. And all of you, please join in.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God in her sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament.
Praise God for mighty deeds. Praise God with trumpet sound, with lute and harp.
Praise God with instruments.
Let everything that breathes praise the Lord.
Ask everyone in the congregation to lift your hands in the sign of blessing and imagine all of your love and hopes pour out and onto this piano, and let all of us touch this piano, and together let us pray the prayer as printed in your bulletin. Eternal and creative God, creator of all, we give you thanks for this day. We praise you for the freedom we enjoy to worship you. With joyful hearts, we turn to you. Accept our dedication of this grand piano with its grand softness and its grand loudness. Let each note be a prayer vibrating with life and love as we worship and praise your holy name. We pray all these things to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now that we have blessed and consecrated it, it's only right that we should use it, don't you think? So flip over your pages, turn your page in your bulletin, verses 1 and 4 of Sing Praise to God. Sing praise to God who has shaped and sustains all creation. Sing praise, my soul, in profound and complete adoration. Gladsome rejoice, organ and trumpet and voice, joining God's great congregation. Sing praise, my soul, the great name of your high God commanding. All that have life and breath join you there with me blending.
God is your light, soul
ever keep this in sight. Amen, amen, never ending. All right. You may head off to Sunday school or back to your seats, and you may be seated.
the prophet Isaiah, called the temple a house of prayer for all nations. Jesus got himself arrested by angrily driving people out of that same temple because it had stopped being a house of prayer. We do many things in this room. In this room, we encounter the fullness of life. Here in this room, we celebrate birth and baptism. Here we confirm our children. We welcome new members. We join people together in matrimony. We celebrate the beauty of music. We practice the art of truth. We gather to mourn and to seek a deeper connection to God and each other. But running through all of those things and practiced every time that we gather here is prayer. Prayer is a sacred time where all boundaries and barriers dissipate, where we join with one another, with those who have gone before, and even with those yet to come. And so on this day, when we will once again gather to be church in our annual meeting, we set aside this worship to pray, to lay siege to heaven and wait expectantly for an answer. The worship you're about to experience is patterned after our morning prayer worship. I hope and pray that this is a time where you can let go of everything and simply let God cradle you. A time where you can listen for the tiptoed entrance of the Spirit. A time where you come face to face with Christ himself. A couple of things you need to know. You will need your bulletin. It will guide you through it. All of the hymns are in there that you might use it. We are going to pray first for our own joys and concerns, then for the larger world, and finally for this church and the church universal. There is going to be plenty of silence. And then I will invite you to name your prayer. And today I invite you to name it with simply a word or a short phrase. There is no need to explain the entire prayer. Just simply release it into the care of God and one another. And it is okay if more than one person is praying out loud at the same time. Trust me, God can handle it. We will have people lighting candles up here for every prayer that has been named. Finally, you will be invited to remain seated for our hymns that you might stay in that prayerful space. But before we pray, before we lift our own voice, I invite you into a centering time where we invite the Holy Spirit's presence to come to our heart. The music Veni Sanctus Spiritus literally means Holy Spirit, come to us. Friends, let us enter into a time of prayer.
Thank you.
Loving God, you know us better than we know ourselves. Be with us now as we open our hearts and minds to the fullness of our lives. Be with us in the midst of the silence to come, that we might honor all of our joys and concerns humbly, fully, and hopefully. God, you call us to be one body, to share the cost and joys of discipleship, to love you with our whole hearts and our neighbors as ourselves. Be with us now as we name out loud, in a word or short phrase, the prayers that are on our hearts, that we might share them with you and with one another. Hear these prayers of your people.
loving God, hear these prayers, both those that have been spoken out loud and those that are left unspoken on our hearts. In the beginning of time, God, you reminded us that we are our brother's keeper. In the fullness of time, Jesus came to teach that our neighbor is anyone in need, regardless of border or location. And so today, God, we lift our eyes beyond these hills to your whole creation. We open our hearts in the silence to follow to both the blessings of this beautiful world and to the depth of its current needs.
Thank you.
Jesus proclaimed that if we remain silent, the very stones would shout out. And so we lift our voices in a word or phrase and share our prayers for the whole world. Loving God, hear these prayers, those that have been spoken and those that have been left unspoken.
Thank you.
Our scripture reading today is Isaiah 32, verse 2, and Job 27, verse 10. Isaiah 32, verse 2. A man will be like a hiding place from the wind, a covert from the tempest, like streams of water in a dry place, like the shade of a great rock in a weary land. Job 27, verse 10. Will they take delight in the Almighty? Will they call upon God at all times?
Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Worship is always and fundamentally a space where boundaries of time are blurred. Ordinary time meets holy time. Finite beings come face to face with the infinite. In the United Church of Christ, we understand that here in worship, we both look back to our faithful forebears and their insights and understandings, as well as being charged to look forward, to make this faith our own in our own generation, in worship, in the way we think and act, and in the stance of our heart before God. And today, it is even more so. Annual meeting Sundays are special times. They pointedly remind us both of our past and of our future. They are the fulcrum in which we live our lives as a sacred family. By their very title, they call our minds to a distant past. This will be the 282nd annual meeting. There is a lot of history here, and not just made by those names who grace those plaques. On this day, standing on the fulcrum, we take our place in that great long line. The decisions that we will make in that room about our life, our leaders, and about this place we care for will be the very thing that generations from now, people will look backward upon as they too look forward. Today, we have already blessed this piano that once served Marjorie in her career with the Metropolitan Opera, and now it has been consecrated forward to the praise and glory of God and the making of beauty here. Here on this table, in this round jar, are symbols of all the prayers for the last 6 weeks in our Wednesday morning prayer, and they join together with these flickering lights, symbolic of the prayers we lift today. And later, in worship, we will give thanks for the presence and gifts of the Slocum family, even as we consecrate Martha as she heads off to seminary to answer the call of God and to shape the church of the future. This is a day where from this fulcrum we look backward and forward, even as we know the only place we can truly ever live is right now, here in the presence. And that is the central reason we are spending all of this worship time bathed in prayer, that we might feel the Spirit, that it might meet us where we are, and that we might align with it, that we might follow it where it will lead. When we pray, the Apostle Paul reminds us that the Spirit comes and joins and intervenes with sighs too deep to hear. These two passages that Karen just read today form the foundation for two different sermons that Jonathan Edwards once preached on the idea of prayer. They were preached to this very congregation about how we live at this fulcrum in this very moment, the only moment we can ever actually live in. A moment founded on our past and leaning to the future. And Edwards said the only way we can ever do that is in prayer, that moment we take our place in the infinite line of the faithful and ground who we are in both our source, our sustenance, and our destination. Edwards was acutely aware of the fulcrum of time. He served during the Great Awakening.
That time was dedicated to bringing people back to faith, and they did it with great and spectacular revivals, tent gatherings that went on for days with dynamic preaching, healing prayers, and more. Regular life came to a screeching halt, and everything and anything was about that revival. It was a time where people discovered, in the midst of huge crowds, the emotion, joy, and beauty and possibility of faith. It was Christmas and Easter, Thanksgiving and the Super Bowl all rolled into one. And the people got stirred up. It was emotional and meaningful. And so people came to the church in great numbers, excited about their faith, convinced, converted, and committed in a moment of meaning. The past taking on new shape, their imagination and vision pointing forward like a laser beam to the possibilities of what might yet be. And the danger Edwards worried about was forgetting about this present moment, forgetting about meeting the Spirit here and now and letting it guide us forward, about harnessing all of that joy and hope and possibility into something that sustains once the tent are packed, the teachers are gone, and life returns to normal. Both of those sermons were about prayer. In his sermon on Job's great questions, will they take delight in the Almighty? Will they call on God at all times? Edwards imagines a God not as an angry God, but rather as a close friend, one who time and time and time again invites us to come over, to sit down, to share, and just be in the moment. He imagined God simply sitting there inviting us through prayer into a conversation, not sinners in the hands of an angry God, but instead beloved, invited into the company of our Creator. Prayer, Edwards mused, is the way to a life of communion with God, of meeting God here and now in this very moment, the only moment in which we can fully live. Prayer, Edwards preached, is the most excellent means of causing the soul to flourish. And so on this day where time is blurred, where we look to the past, even as we contemplate our future, we bathe it all in prayer. Which takes us to his other sermon, the one on Isaiah. It is in prayer, Edwards preached, that we draw ever closer to that man who indeed is our shelter, our hiding place from the wind, our covert from the tempest, our water in dry places, and our shade in the wilting heat of the sun. For it is in prayer, Edwards preaches, that we draw ever closer to Christ. And when we do, when we draw near, Edward preaches, we see a transcendent glory and an ineffable sweetness. We see that on our own, we have only been pursuing shadows. But when we see Christ, we see substance. We know that we had only been seeking happiness through a stream, when in Christ, we find the whole ocean waiting for us. There is, Edwards proclaimed, quiet rest and full refreshment in Christ for sinners that are weary and heavy laden. And so today, as we take our place in the great line of faith and of this church, we bathe ourselves in prayer that we might find substance rather than pursue shadow and discover not just a stream, but the depth and vast expanse of the ocean. And in both sermons, the only thing Edwards said we have to do is make a choice. Will we answer the invitation of God? Will we draw near to Christ? Those are the questions of this day and every day. A question best met in the depths of prayer. And so, brothers and sisters, I invite you back into a time of prayer.
Venne Sancte Spiritus.
this local church and for the church universal. Now, loving God, in word or phrase, we name those prayers out loud before you and one another. God above us, God beside us, God beneath us. For all of these prayers that have been spoken and all those left unspoken, we come to you. We pray to you. We seek you. Creator God, bless us that we may give forth new life. Christ, meet us here that we might be rooted deeply in this life. Spirit, surround and uplift us that we might soar beyond possibilities. May your ways become our ways. May your heart become our heart. May our lives be given fully and completely to you that we might find sweet refreshment and through it discover our calling. And let the whole church say, Amen. Friends, so deeply have we been blessed. Let us now return a portion of that blessing that it might fund the ministries of reconciliation, healing, and life of this local church.
Thank you.
Loving God, bless these gifts and all who have gathered, that they and we might leave this place brimming with your love, your hope, and your holy purpose. And let the whole church say, Amen. Friends, I invite you to be seated, and I invite the Slocum family to come on up, along with Joanne and Terry and Kathy. Come on over here in front of this beautiful table. Martha, Chris, Hazel, John, you came to this place bringing your gifts, your questions, your love. We have been blessed by your presence in this family. You have touched our lives both individually and collectively. Because of you, we have become more fully the body of Christ.
Martha, you have heard God calling you into ministry, and you have humbly and boldly accepted that calling. On behalf of the deacons of this church, go with our blessing, remembering that you have our support, our love, and our prayers. In the joys and challenges of your study and ministry, remember, this place will always be your home, a sanctuary, a safe place, a refuge.
As your family moves to Indiana, where Martha will study and John has found a new job, we send you with this shawl. When you are lonely or cold, wrap it around you and feel our love. When you are discouraged, draw it close and hear us cheering you on. When you celebrate, feel its softness and how we rejoice with you.
At the heart of our faith is the Word incarnate. Illuminating that Word are the Holy Scriptures, ancient truth worthy of contemplation and study, ancient promises that provide hope and reassurance, and the truth of God's real and abiding presence in our own times. May this Bible remind you of the source of your calling and the time we have shared here.
Friends, I invite you to extend your hand in an ancient sign of blessing and imagine all of your sticky blessings flowing out of them that they might remain on this beautiful family. Let us pray. God of life and love and hope and dreams, we give you thanks for this family that has become part of our family. Bless them on their travels. Bless them as they create a new life and add new families to the ones they already claim. God, we ask special blessings on Martha as she answers your call. Bless her learning that it might draw her into your arms. Bless her community that she might find joy and fellowship. Bless her faculty that they might impart wisdom, skill, and love. And God, bless every moment that each one might become sacred and a gift in its own right. God, pour out your blessings on John, on Hazel, on Chris, and on Martha, and let your whole church say, Amen. Blessings.
Thank you.
Friends, as we go, let us bless one another. You will find the text on page 11 of your bulletin. On our heads and our houses, in our coming and our going, in our life and believing, at our end and new beginning, and as you go, the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Now share it with one another.